Well, good evening, listeners, and welcome to this special Anzac Day edition of The Grapple, this 25th day of April 2019. Warm welcome to Steve Buchanan. Well, we're in for the long haul this evening, a true stayer, Steve.
It certainly seems like it. Everyone's fallen by the wayside today.
Well, that's what we said.
Oh, we're here. We're still here.
He's having plenty of coffee to keep him awake.
Yeah, plenty of coffee.
We can understand why some people have fallen by the wayside, but Steve, great to have you join us. And, of course, in our Motor Talk program just after 7, we'll be chatting to you about the Bathurst one, the Bathurst 6 hours.
Certainly will be.
Sounded like a fantastic event.
And Sports Buddy, it's all about stamina.
Stamina?
Yes, stamina.
Just before we get started, how good were Parramatta Eels?
We'll get to that. 2 weeks on the program and he's learned from Mooney already.
already he's steering you in the direction he wants to go.
I learned from the best of Mooney, didn't I?
The Niff Nuff Award man. We'll get to that shortly too. But listeners, obviously Anzac Day, we honour all our service people, families and friends on this very special day.
Lest we forget.
And certainly lest we forget. And you read some of your family histories and you realise that you've got your wife's grandfather landed in the second wave there, and you've got a great uncle that landed.
Well, you've discovered a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh,
and I just related to you how my great grandfather was in the Boer War and in World War One for Australia. So there you go.
Exactly, and it certainly has great relevance.
I think just about everyone you know is touched by something by Anzac Day.
Anzac Day, well and truly. So enjoy, and as we said, our honour to all of the service people, families and friends on this very, very special day.
Indeed so.
And our program this evening, listeners. Well, we'll look at the results. Round 7 in the NRL already underway with a win to the Roosters, 20 points to 10, led 14-0 at halftime, and 20-10 over the Dragons there. So Latrell Mitchell, a try and 3 goals, certainly proved the difference between the two sides
in that victory. They are playing some good footy, aren't they?
They certainly are, and yours truly picked the Dragons, thinking they might have been able to do it, but 14-10 for a long time, but not good enough.
You're only human.
Only human, and only a mere mortal.
Yes.
And in the ISC match, well, the Bears took on the PNG Hunters this afternoon. The Bears absolutely flogged the PNG Hunters, 56-4, led 22-0 at halftime. Jamal Fogarty, 2 tries and 8 goals.
But they did play well, and nonetheless.
10 tries to 1. The Bears did very well there. And listeners, just after 6:20 this evening, we'll be joined live and exclusive here by Eric Smith on the phone, coach of the undefeated Sunshine Coast Falcons in the ISC. Now, seven games, seven wins.
That's legendary
status. Not a bad record, is it? 7 wins.
Pretty good record to start the season. And Eric's kind enough to join us this evening. Of course, there's no training tonight. So he's had a restful day, he said. And looking forward to chatting to Eric. And he certainly made a big difference to the Falcons there on the Sunshine Coast. And, of course, our resident NRL expert, Greg McCallum, he'll join us just after 6:40.
Mr. Unblocked.
Mr. Unblocked. And we'll have a chat about Battlefield to Footy Fields Initiative. A little bit of a chat, too, about Gus Gould's departure.
Yes,
and the dropping of experienced touch judge from last week, who missed Tim Laffey's escort on Manly winger Ruben Garrick in the final minute. So, of course, Macca's round 7 predictions as well. All that and more here on The Grapple on this Anzac Day, the 25th day of April 2019. And as we analyse and bisect and dissect and do everything else that we can, we'll do that during the game. And don't forget, after the grapple, our motorsports program. Steve Buchanan's already in the studio, and we'll talk about that between 7 and 7.30. There's probably been some movement on the coach sacking meters, I would have thought, Steve. A bit of pressure on some of them.
I don't know if I'd like to be a coach of Newcastle at the moment.
No, I certainly wouldn't be. And we'll talk about that probably later on as well. Well, I suppose, Shane, we better start with something like this. Let's see.
Let's have a listen.
Let's have
this
a listen.
Be good.
We'll just have headphones on.
We'll just have a listen.
Go, guys. Go.
Aren't they excited? It's a live performance. And unrehearsed, apparently.
Yes, totally just unrehearsed.
Just sprung into nature.
Yeah, exactly
like
right.
All right, enough of that. Back over to you.
Well, listeners, that was in the Parramatta dressing room. We've played that song for Steve and Shane Moon after the demolition of the West Tigers on Easter Monday, 51-6. And it was ironic last week that Mooney's Niff Nuff Award went to the Parramatta Retention Committee.
Yeah.
And, of course, Gutherson and Moses carved up the West Tigers.
Maybe they were listening.
Oh, I think they might have been, actually.
the reach of this radio station is well beyond.
And Niff Nuff, well, he got 7 out of 8 last weekend. So well done, Niff Nuff. And as we said, the games earlier today, we've given those scores. But let's have a look at NRL Round 6 from last weekend.
Boom, boom.
And Stephen Shane, 6 games, separated by 26 points, or roughly 4 points a game. And that was certainly an indication of the closeness of those other games. Of course, the other two, well, they had blowouts with the leaderless, coachless, rudderless and hopeless Knights losing by 24 to an enthusiastic Titans, while the pathetic Tigers were doubly hopeless in their woeful, miserable, pitiful, deplorable and humiliating 45-point loss to the Eels. There you are, Moody. I've nailed myself out there. And, it was a fantastic performance by the Eels. First game at the new venue, so you couldn't say they had the home ground advantage. They certainly had the crowd, but it was a deplorable performance by the West Tigers. And well done to the Eels, 51-6. And they're certainly sitting pretty on the ladder at the moment, Steve.
They certainly are. I was quite surprised. I didn't actually get to see much of the game because I was coming back from Bathurst. But it was actually as I got onto the plane, the pilot was standing there and I had my para jersey on and he's going, congratulations, what a great win. So I had to quickly jump on my phone to see what the score was.
Yes, well, you've been... I know a lot of people thought it was going to be a lot closer than that. I, for one... But that wasn't the case. And
Good's the stadium?
Oh, fantastic.
$780 million.
And the lighting
effects as well. It's just out of this world, isn't it?
Absolutely incredible stadium.
But how good is it? How good is it that you didn't get the flu?
Well, at the moment I haven't. Everybody else that seemed to have got the flu, touch wood.
Yes, yeah. Well, as we said, NRL round 6 and last weekend, and of course one of those games that was very close, the Sharks and the Panthers. And, gee, that 24-20 win to the Sharks at Sharks centre Bronson Zeri, absolutely fantastic turn of speed, big and strong, and he's a player of the future. And as we said with Macca on Monday, how good's Josh Morris? He's getting better with age. Unbelievable.
He certainly is. Like, you know, he's been playing for quite a few years now, and I think that the change this year is certainly going to, you know, it's really brought him out again.
It certainly
has. Back to his old days.
He has. Exactly right, Steve, and he's playing like a young man possessed and has contributed his experience with coming in and nullifying, you know, the ball getting three wide of the ruck. Absolutely incredible there for the Sharks.
You can't take out experience on these old players when they've got young people coming around. You know, it's good to lead the team around the park. That's what they need.
Exactly. And that Bronson's area, that centre for the Sharks, by gee, he's a prospect of the future. Well, the Bulldogs and Rabbits, that was a bit of a boring second half. 14-6, no score in the second half. The Rabbits' fifth win of the season, yeah, they'll take that. And certainly was a grinding nature. And, well, Sam Burgess, well, he had a bit of a set too with Dogs halfback Lachlan Lewis. And the Dogs, probably two or three players away, top players away from being competitive. That's where they sit at the moment, Steve.
Yeah, I think you're right. I still don't rate them very highly for this year. There's just something about them. I'm not 100% sure exactly what it is at the moment. But give it time, they could possibly get there.
Well, I think they're showing more. They're being more competitive than a lot of people thought. And as I said, two or three players, and probably a strike centre and a maybe a good lock forward, and they'd probably be in there. Well, the Storm and the Roosters, as we said, well, that was last week. That was the grand final replay, and that game didn't let the 17,000 fans down, nor the TV viewers, with a 21-20 golden point victory to the Roosters with that stunning field goal by Latrell Mitchell, 40 metres out. Incredible result.
How good is he?
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, but, you know, the number of weeks that we're into it, I can't believe the number of field goals that have separated games in Golden Point this year already.
And, of course, the Roosters, well, they led 20-0 and then 20-8. Cameron Smith, you'd have to take your hat off to him down there with the Storm. He certainly orchestrated a second-half revival. And three tries all. 4 goals apiece, only separated by the one field goal.
I still think they're the two teams to beat this year, but
no doubt
they're just a cut above everybody else in the competition at the moment.
Yes, they certainly are. I suppose one of the reasons I thought the Dragons might get up today is because Luke Keary was out, but Cooper Cronk, he certainly stepped up this afternoon for the Roosters there, and he had a big impact on that game. Well, the Warriors and the Cowboys, well, the Warriors, yeah, they fell away badly there, and... That 17-10 victory by the Cowboys, Michael Morgan and Josh Maguire, well, they were probably the two key men for the Cowboys to get them over the line the other week. And Adam Blair, well, he certainly wasn't the hero for the Warriors. Drop ball, I knew, and some missed tackles there, and you'd probably get him off the field.
Yeah, unfortunately with the Warriors, it's a week-to-week prospect. You never know what team's going to turn up to play.
Well,
you know, if the Warriors that are good and turn up, you know, they can match it with any team in the competition, but, geez, when they're off, they have a bad game, and they're off, all right.
Well and truly. Well, the Dragons and the Seagulls, and they're going to be more off this weekend because RTS, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, is out, and their inspirational leader and, I suppose, meter gainer won't be there. Well, Dragons and the Seagulls. Well, the Dragons, of course, they got a 12-10 win over the Seagulls. It was a great game. And the general kicking by the two generals, Ben Hunt and Daly Cherry Evans, that was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, it most certainly was. I think Manly's, it's hard to say, but I think Manly's going to be a team to watch out for when they fire up.
I think they're exceeding everyone's expectations.
Definitely.
Steve, well and truly.
Old Desi's got him, he's back home,
yeah,
and he's
Dr.
got
Dez,
the boys.
Yes,
yep.
We know, Dr. Des.
Dr. Des has got the boys playing.
Titans and the Knights, well, as we said, maybe some movement on the coach sacking meter because the Knights were terrible in that loss. And, gee, the Titans, well, they led 22-0 and, gee whiz, I don't know what you say about the Knights, but anyway, it finished up 38-14 loss, just error-ridden. The Raiders and the Broncos, this was another good game, and Joseph Leilua kept his cool, and gee, he played very, very well. That was a 26-16 win over the Broncos, and the Raiders, well, are now 5-1 and basically in the top four. Incredible.
Start of the season, a lot of people wouldn't have rated the Raiders to be up there. It would have been the other way around with the Bronx. But, yeah, the Raiders playing good football.
That's exactly right. Worst start for the Broncos since 1999. And, of course, the Eels and West Tigers. Well, I don't think we need to say much more about that. Mitchell Moses was outstanding with Clint Gutherson. And, well, 29,047 people. So 30,000-seat stadium, $300 million. Fantastic. And well done to the Parramatta Eels. And we already played their theme song, so...
All I can say is sign the players now.
Exactly. Well, I said that a couple of weeks ago because their prices have just gone up.
Yep, certainly have.
Well, in the ISC last weekend, the Cutters lost to the Bears 24-10. The Pride lost 26-18 to the Seagulls. The Capras lost 52-6 to the Falcons, and we'll no doubt talk with Eric Smith about that win from last weekend as well shortly. The Tigers, they defeated the Magpies. Hunters lost 28-10 to the Jets. The Devils defeated the Blackhawks. And Dolphins and Seagulls was a 26-6 win for the Dolphins. So the ISC ladder, certainly rather interesting at the moment, with the Falcons on top on 14, Tigers second on 12. The Bears, after their win today, go to 12 points in third spot. And Seagulls fourth spot on 10, with Devils on fifth spot with 10 points as well. That's the ISC ladder. Well, as we said... Steve, probably some movement on the coach sacking meter, and Newcastle coach Nathan Brown. They're saying now that he's unlikely to be sacked. Apparently his unique performance-based contract doesn't stipulate the coach will be shown the door if the team even fails to play in the finals in 2019. So he's got a number of key performance indicators in order to remain in the job for another season, and apparently one of those is not a top eight finish, I would have thought. The top eight finish would have been mandatory for every coach.
Well, one would think so. You don't coach a team to come last.
You certainly don't. And,
but who else is out there that's capable as a good front running coach?
Oh well, I'm sure there'll be a couple of people on the market that would be putting their hands up, and they no doubt probably looking around already. I would imagine so.
Yes.
Yeah. So. The Warriors, as we said, they've lost three key players for their Anzac Day game against Melbourne tonight. That's Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, Blake Green with the groin, and Solomon Okata on compassionate leave. So that certainly will leave a big hole there for the Warriors this evening against the Storm. And Jason Taumalolo, well, that's a chance of making a shock early return for his side's game against Canterbury. Mm. That'll be a big boost for the Cowboys.
Cowboys, yeah, I was quite surprised when I heard that.
Yes, well and truly there, Steve, and certainly looking forward to seeing what happens there. Well, in terms of the English Super League, and St Helens on top on 12 points, 6 points clear of Warrington, then Wakefield, Castleford and Hull all on 14 with Catalans on 14. Hull FC take on Wakefield. That will be the main match this weekend. So we're certainly looking forward to that as well. And Universities Rugby League, well, that started this afternoon. Grand final replay kicked off this year's Universities Rugby League competition. It was a triple header. Host, the Griffith Dragons, had food trucks. I like this. And a DJ on site. That's my style of rugby league.
It's not bad, is it?
I bet. I wonder if Nifnuff was there. And all six clubs, well, they battled it out for the first competition points of the season at Griffith's Nathan Campus. So the early games today, the Dragons, Griffith Dragons, took on the Premiers, the University of Queensland Hounds. Griffith Logan Redbacks took on the Queensland University of Technology Trouts, and Griffith Gold Coast Panthers took on the Australian Catholic University. Well, listen, stay tuned, because after our first break, we're going to be talking live and exclusive to Eric Smith, coach of the undefeated Sunshine Coast Falcons, here on 101.5 FM Sports. And listeners, welcome back to The Grapple here on this very special day, Thursday, the 25th day of April, of course, Anzac Day. And we also have a very special guest joining us live online now, Eric Smith, the coach of the undefeated Sunshine Coast Falcons. Good evening, Eric.
Good evening, mate. How are you?
Good, thank you. And how have you passed your Anzac Day today?
I've been pretty quiet, actually, mate. I was up nice and early this morning, but done a bit of work today, actually, and just settled in.
No rest for a coach.
You're on.
Well, it truly. Well, Eric, I suppose at this stage of the season, undefeated after seven rounds, you defeated the Capras 52-6 last weekend. Week before that, you defeated the first place Tigers 30-6 in round six. How's it all going?
Yeah, mate. When you rail it off like that, it sounds like we're going really well. but mate, which we are, mate. We couldn't be happier with the start that we've had. Obviously, looking back in November when we started, no one, even myself, probably could have foreseen that we were going to start this well. We had a lot of new, or not a lot, but some new players come into the squad. We had some younger guys being promoted up from our 20s. And some younger guys from the Sunny Coast promoted up into the squad, and obviously myself coming along as a new coach, and travelling fair say well last year, for us to come out and start as well as we have, again, I think it's probably exceeded by anyone else's expectations. But once we've got into the games and we've seen how well we have gelled as a sort of a new squad, the results for us in the first two or three games, the results now sort of aren't a surprise to us, because we've worked really hard and we're doing a lot of things on the field that is off the back of some really big and long weeks in pre-season, I think. So it's a good reward for all the players, how hard they have worked. But like you said, it is only seven rounds. So there's a long way to go yet.
It certainly is. Well, this time last year, I just thought I'd do a quick comparison. Eric, the Falcons had three wins from seven games and were sitting ninth on the competition ladder. So certainly a big turnaround there. And I don't want to jinx the Falcons, of course, but first time any club has won the same amount of games since Wynnum Manly did so on their way to winning the 2012 Premiership. So there's a record there that perhaps you might equal later in the season.
Yeah, so, mate, it would be nice. Again, we're not thinking that far ahead, mate. We're obviously focused on Mackay this weekend. And again, the players and the group have been really good. What no one has even spoken about being undefeated or where we sit in the ladder or who we're playing with. We have been really narrow-focused every week, and our process is pretty simple. We come in and review our game from the weekend. We take that we done well, and we train those so we can do them even better the following week. There's things that we take out of it that we know we need to get better at, and we go out and we work on those, and we just prepare as best we can for the week coming up. We look at the other team we're playing and see where we think their strengths and weaknesses are, and that's about as complicated as it gets every week, and then we move on to the following week and do the same process.
Eric, that sounds like the keep it simple process.
I hope it's the key to the Falcons' season success this season. But again, it is working for us at the moment. Like I said, we had a massive pre-season, like a lot of clubs do. But even a lot of the players that have been here before have sort of said that they haven't been through a pre-season like that yet. And I think that we're really starting to see the rewards of that. Even some of the guys that have been here for a couple of seasons are playing the best football they have for the club off the back of the work that they put in that pre-season, which is good to see.
Well, of course, you mentioned your take on the Mackay Cutters this weekend, Saturday, 5 o'clock, and they're sitting ninth on the ladder. Your home ground record, you've won your past four matches at home, so you'll be looking to keep that intact, no doubt.
Yeah, we want to make the Sunny Coast a tough place for anyone to come to this season. But again, I think the Mackay Cutters, they're starting to find some form, to be quite honest. They had a really good win over Townsville Blackhawks only a couple of weeks back. I know they've only won two games, but the last few weeks they've been very unlucky. That they played Burley Bears last week, who I think at the moment are probably The team to beat in the competition, to be quite honest, they're powering along really nicely at the moment. And they got a couple of lucky tries against Cutters last week and off kicks, and that was sort of the difference. So I think that Mackay, they're bolstered by usually 5 to 7 Cowboys players each week as well. They're starting to get a bit more consistent, getting a few boy numbers back from them. So I'm expecting one of the toughest games you've had to face this weekend, to be quite honest. I think we're going to be in for a really tough battle on Saturday.
Well, I'm looking forward to the clash of your key players, your hooker Harry Grant up against Ruben Cotter, who scored 5 tries for the Cutters this season so far.
Yeah, and Harry's been outstanding for us. I think at the start of the season, it took a little while for our edges to sort of kick into gear. It was a little bit clunky for a few weeks until they sort of got their combinations and got their timing, everything together. But while that was happening, Harry Grant and was directing the forwards around awesome in the middle for us. And a lot of our tries and line breaks in the first sort of 4 to 5 weeks were in and around Harry Grant, and the way that he sort of controls the game there, and his own running game is picked up again this year as well. And it was good to see today that he's leading the Siva Nasiva medal count at the moment as well, was Todd Murphy, which is great reward for the first 7 weeks, because I think they've been outstanding for us for the first 7 weeks.
I think that'd be an understatement with Todd Murphy, your halfback, 84 points for the season so far.
Yeah, I guess the 84 points, I guess it's he gets a fair few shots at goal in the first 7 weeks, which has been obviously the work done by a lot of other guys in the team, although Murph has scored a few tries and set up a few himself. But I think that the entire group has sort of put their hand up and contributed to those points. I think we're also leading, obviously, for the most tries and points in the competition so far. So that's great. We still aren't completing as much as or as high as I would like. There's been a few games and we were not completing as much as we would like to, but to not be completing and still being able to pile on points, that's the pleasing thing. So hopefully when we do get to that percentage rate of completion that we're happy with, that we're going to be able to be even more threatening and more dangerous.
Well, Justin Olam, he's been with the club for a while. He only needs one more try to equal the club try-scoring record of 30.
Yeah, he's been stuck for a couple of weeks on that. I think he's, I'm not even too sure whether he's aware of it. I'm sure that he would be, but, Juzzy, I'm sure it's only a matter of time before Juzzy, equals that, breaks that, goes past it with, the rate that he does score tries, Juzzy. So, I can see that, that record being his on his own, in the next week or two.
And Eric, I suppose one of the really good stories of rugby league has been the rebirth of Sandor Earl, and of course the Falcons have contributed in that in no small means. What sort of a player is Sandor?
He's a player that's coming back from. You got to remember, the game changes so much, and Sandor, as we all know, he spent 4 years away from the game, and not only was he away from the game, he wasn't even able to be in a team environment where he could train and still continue to evolve and grow as a rugby league player. He was pretty much just completely away from the game and away from training rugby league or rugby league training altogether. And then to come back, and I was down in Melbourne that day, and obviously I was based down there and working with the Storm, and I was actually reffing the drill the day that 3 weeks into his first pre-season back, and he done his ACL pretty much a metre away from me when he went down to the ground, and that was obviously a tragic moment. But again, that was only 3 weeks into his training, so he had to have another 6 months off, so he was pretty much 4.5 years away, no pre-season, then had to come back in last year and play some games, and he got back to some decent form, which was a credit to him and how hard he worked. And then this year to come back and play NRL again, I know he's only played one game, but to come back into not just any club, but probably arguably the best rugby league club in the world, and be able to force your way back into first grade after 4.5 years away from the game is extraordinary, I think. And I think that's only the beginning. I think Sandor will definitely play more NRL at some stage either this year or in the future. But for us, he's been outstanding. I think the game before he played NRL for us, he scored 3 tries and got our player of the match. And last week again, had the most metres for us against the Capra. So he's been outstanding for us every time he comes back. And His attitude and just his influence around the group. He's a great guy, Shandor, and everyone gets along with him. He's really good to have in the group. He's really good at motivating players and helping younger players out, which is great for us and great to have him around the group. And we're looking forward to him having a big game again this Saturday, but also hoping at some stage he gets another crack and pulls on the Storm jersey.
Well, certainly I look forward to seeing that with great interest, because it is a really good story. I know it was unfortunate circumstances for him, but he's certainly determination that he's shown to get back on the paddock and then get back in, as you said, to probably the best rugby league club in the world. And just talking about the best rugby league club in the world, any inside stories on Craig Bellamy at all, Eric, that you could share, you know, confidentially with our listeners?
No, what you see is what you get with Belzer, to be quite honest. He's, I know a lot of people only probably see him expressing himself in the coach's box, but he's actually got a pretty good sense of humour on a day-to-day basis around the club and in our coaches' meeting rooms and in the reviews of the players. He's probably the one that cracks the most jokes or tries to crack the most jokes or stirs more people than anyone else. So he has got a really good sense of humour, and he's a really good, genuine guy. And so I know people only see him what they see in the coach's box of him, which he does have that part of him as well, but that's just how passionate he is and how much he wants his team to do well, and that just comes out in spades in the coaches' boxes, unfortunately.
It certainly does. Well, it's really. So, Eric, what sort of influence has Craig Bellamy had on your coaching career?
Yeah, well, I guess I was working for Melbourne for the last five seasons, so my coaching and the way that I go about things obviously is very Melbourne Storm influenced, and the way that we do things, and I know that Craig talks about it a lot, but I know every coach does about little things, but the degree of depth that Melbourne go into the little things and the amount of video work they do and position-specific skills and upskilling people in their position and things that only that player needs in the game, and instead of just the whole group training together, we do a lot of, and we've done it at the Falcons this pre-season, where we dedicated a fair chunk of our pre-season into players being able to work on their own craft and their own individual positional skills. And I think that that's where we're getting some big benefits this year at the Falcons squad, that everyone has improved 5 to 10% just in their own position and their own individual skill, which is needed for the game. And sort of those 5 or 10% all added up into a team performance is why we're getting the results that we're getting so far.
Well, that's great to hear that, Eric. And, of course, as you mentioned about the Burley Bears, well, they did crunch the Hunters today, 56-4 with 10 tries to 1, so they are certainly on fire. And just finally, Eric, the semi-finals of the Melbourne Inca this weekend, the Falcons are playing Wynnum.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think I was talking to Flano, our CEO, the other day, and I think, I can't remember off the top of my head, but he was saying that he couldn't remember the Falcons Meninga team being in the finals in his time at the club. I'm not too sure when it was the last time they were in it, or if they have been in it exactly, but it's been a long time regardless, and they've been outstanding. Again, they've had some really tight games. They've had to come from behind a few times, and they're not the biggest side compared to some of the bigger Brisbane sides. But again, they've been outstanding in some of the grit they've shown to win some of their games. So obviously wishing those guys all the best, and it'd be great if they can get a win and get through to the grand final. But again, it's been an outstanding effort for them to finish in the top four regardless.
Well, Eric Smith, the coach of the Sunshine Coast Falcons ISC team, thank you very much for joining us here on our Grapple program. All the best in your match on Saturday against the Cutters. And as you've just said, good luck to the Melbourne Inga boys, and they take on Wynnum Manly 1:45 at Kooragai Oval on Saturday afternoon. Eric Smith, thank you for your time. And as we said, all the best on the weekend.
No, thank you, mate, and thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
No problems at all. Well, that was Eric Smith, coach of the Sunshine Coast Falcons team. And gee, Steve and Shane, interesting to hear his comments about Craig Bellamy and the influence that Craig's had, and also the humour of the man. I would think he's got a twinkle in his eye.
No holes barred there.
No, it was good. It was excellent.
It's actually
thank you very much for that.
It is surprising the number of people that say that about Bellamy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he's a bit of a... bit of a Jekyll and Hyde there at some times. We're just a typical coach, but a bit of a larrikin there as well.
But good value on the microphone too. I mean,
exactly.
More than that,
exactly
great
right.
Stuff.
Well, listeners, The ISC round 8 already underway this weekend. Burley Bears, well, as we said, they put the cleaners through the Hunters 56-4 earlier this afternoon. On Saturday, the Tigers will take on the Dolphins, and the Blackhawks will take on the Capras. The Falcons and the Cutters at Sunshine Coast Stadium should be a good game Saturday afternoon. The Devils will take on the Pride at Suncorp Stadium. Now, that game, Steve and Shane, is being played prior to the Broncos-Sharks NRL game. So a big day, evening for the Devils and the Pride players. Curtain raiser to the NRL game.
Good game. Two good games of footy.
Two good games of footy. And on Sunday, the Magpies will take on Wynnum. And Tweed will take on Ipswich. Now, the Jets will be full of confidence after their win over the Hunters in the PNG last weekend. So that's ISC round 8 this weekend.
Yeah, good match.
It's a good match there. Very good match, that Tweed-Ipswich one. And as we said, the Malmeninga, the semi-finals on Saturday, Wynnum and Falcons, and then Magpies and Tweed. And, of course, the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby League, Vantage Home Cups Division 1, round 6. Caboolture have the bye. Kawana on Saturday will take on Maroochydore. Caloundra will take on Nambour. And Gympie will take on Stanley River. And on Sunday, Noosa will take on Birwa. So Caboolture on top of the ladder with Stanley River second, Birwa third on 17, Gympie fourth on 17. So the top four teams all on 17 points, separated only by percentage in the Sunshine Coast Gympie Rugby
League.
It's
a close game, isn't it?
Very close tight comp. Nambour fifth on 14, Maroochydore sixth on 11, Kawana 7th on 9 with Noosa and Caloundra on 8.
Just shows you how good the footy is up here.
That's exactly right. Well, Division 2B, all three games will be at Palmwoods. So Beachmere, they'll take on Pomona at 1 o'clock. Yandina and Kilcoy against the Yandina against the Kilcoy Yowies at 2:30. And Palmwoods and Merry Valley at 4 p.m. should be a great afternoon of Rugby League. Division 2B, that there at Palmwoods. The women on Saturday, well, Gympie will take on Nambour and Kawana will take on Maroochydore on the Sunshine Coast. And Sunday, Noosa will take on Caboolture and South Burnett Biwa have the bye. So big weekend resuming after Easter. Everyone back on the paddock. And in the Brisbane Rugby League, round 7, well, Seagulls will take on Magpies, Tigers and Dolphins and Diehards and Panthers. And you've got Valleys and Wynnum both on top on 13 points, again separated only by a few points on percentage. And in the South East Queensland Women's Division 1, East have the bye. Sunday it's Burley and Tweed, Souths and Wests and Toowoomba and Ipswich. All things back to normal. Steve Buchanan with the games back on the playing field this weekend. Don't go away, listeners. After our break, we're joined by our resident NRL expert, Greg McCallum, here on 101.5 FM Sports. And listeners, it's that time of the program, just after 6:40, when we're joined by our resident NRL expert, former first grade referee, English Super League boss, and chairman of the NRL Match Committee for over 10 years, Greg McCallum. Evening, Magga.
Evening, Gordon. Good evening, everyone.
And it's great to have you join us on this 25th day of April, of course, Anzac Day. And we've already said at the beginning of our program, Macca, we honour all our service people, families and friends on this very special day.
We do, and rugby league, through the history of all the conflicts, has had a remarkable association with the war effort. Going right back to the early days of the New South Wales Leagues Club, where the first secretary went and fought overseas and unfortunately lost his life in that the very first year that the Leagues Club was underway. So it's a big record and it's a very proud one that rugby league has.
It certainly does, and I know that Tom Mather has written a book about that, and we've spoken to Tom once or twice, and certainly some, very, very emotional stories that go with those. Well, Macca, and we'll link that together with the Battlefield to Footy Fields initiative by the NRL and the Rugby League fraternity, because veterans from the Australian Defence Forces, that's Jake White and Troy Burgess, they'll referee the Australian and New Zealand Defence Forces sides matches, a curtain raiser to the Storm and Warriors down there in Melbourne tonight.
Yeah, terrific initiative. A good mate of ours, Steve Clark, is of course involved in that. He's doing the referee training, picked up the idea over in the USA and has come back here, and it's been a really positive program, and it's great to see that connection even further now, getting into the honourable part of the game, and that's, of course, refereeing.
And of course, the program in partnership with Veteran Sport Australia aims to help veterans transition from active duty back into everyday society at a time when they may feel lost and they're looking for activities to do. Macca, I think it's a fantastic initiative, and Steve Clark is to be congratulated.
Yeah, and it's great support he's getting from the game to do it. One of the great things about rugby league is that it's always reaching out for various parts of the community to get involved and be involved. And this, I think, is a wonderful initiative, and it's great to see those two guys get that opportunity tonight.
Yes, and that will be the curtain raiser to the Storm and Warriors game down there in Melbourne. And, of course, Wednesday they train with the elite NRL refereeing squad at Victoria Barracks, visited the Hyde Park War Memorial, and they flew to Melbourne today for the game. So best of luck to those two gentlemen. Well, I suppose every rugby league highlight, headline, news item this week, Gus Gould, Macca, that seemed to be the only story.
It does, but what's the truth in it all? It's an amazing, when you look back to last year, the coaching conundrum that was going on and who was talking to who and who wasn't, but it was obvious that once Ivan Cleary went back there, given the circumstances of his first appointment there and Gus dismissing him, it wasn't going to work for the next 4 or 5 years. So it's probably a good thing that it's been resolved now in terms of the decision being made that Ivan can look after the football and take a greater hand in recruitment, because ultimately his head's the one on the line each time. So, look, Gould's done a great job at Penrith over many years, but I think the time's come to move on.
Yes, and I think that probably is a very important point to make. And one of the articles said that while he fell short of securing a premiership, he'll be very fondly remembered as a player, of course, coach and administrator. And I'm just wondering when Nathan Cleary does his exit interview at some stage, what he might say.
Yeah, look, I think at the end of the day, he's done a great job on the basis that he already was a legend out there. And it was, I suppose, easy for him to come in and do that. At the end of the day, the Panthers were all about securing Nathan Cleary as halfback for a long term. And the way to do that, from a strategic point of view, was always going to be to connect him up with his father, because he stated on many occasions that he wanted to play under his father's coaching. So it was never going to happen at the Tigers, but it was always going to happen at Penrith, and that's the way it played out.
That's exactly right. Well, just finally from last weekend, experienced touch judge Nick Bischel. He missed Tim Laffey's escort on Manly winger Ruben Garrick, and he's been demoted, Greg.
Yeah, look, that's the way it is now, and it was back when I was refereeing. If you made an error, I don't necessarily think it was totally his error, but he's the one that's taken the big fall. Other referees have been demoted through the system in terms of not being in the centre, so... Graham Annesley said there'd be accountability, and you know he's not the first one that has been relegated on performance. It was a bad error. It was proven today when there was a penalty given in the St George and East game. How bad the one was last week that was missed.
Yes.
And you just can't explain it away. It was just a badness.
And that penalty today was given very very early on in the game.
It was, and it was probably half the interference that took place last week.
Exactly,
so
right.
I can only imagine that Dez would have been chewing harder on his gum.
Dr. Dez, well and truly, or chewing on a whistle or something. Yeah, well and truly. Well, Macca, NRL Round 7 already underway, of course. The early game today at 4 o'clock. The Roosters, they continued on their winning way. 14-0 at halftime they led, 20-10. And 3-2. Latrell Mitchell, a try and 3 goals. They just kept the pressure on the Dragons.
Yeah, they did. They'd probably just got enough in front, and it was always hard for the Dragons to pull it back. I thought both sides fatigued quite noticeably at periods during the game, and again, that's the policy of the league. You know, they're changing the rules to bring fatigue back into it, and I just thought at the end of the game, both sides were out on their feet. But the Dragons fought back. Matt Dufty had a real diamonds and rocks performance, a fantastic try that he scored. And he scores those quite regularly, but then he came up with that error where he lost the ball that led to the try that the Roosters scored. So, player on the up, but they're the sorts of things that win and lose games. But tell me this, Gordon, why do we pay wingers hundreds of thousands of dollars to run over the touchline on the first tackle?
And which winger are we referring to, Macca?
Wherever St George winger on the far side.
Not Jordan Pereira?
No, the other guy. Jordan Pereira was the one that passed it to him. And passed it to him too early to the winger. Just
Lomax. Was it Lomax on the other side?
No, it wasn't Lomax. It was a Fijian winger.
Oh, that's correct, yes.
And on the very first tackle, that was their make or break moment. And he just ran, tried to get around Tedesco, which you can't do, and ended up being put into touch. And it was a significant moment
of the game.
No wonder front rowers get frustrated with wingers that get pushed over the sideline.
Well, that was Michele Ravalava.
And, that's the one.
That's the one. And, of course, I was watching that game, and I watched Jordan Pereira last week as well when he dropped the ball twice, and then he's dropped it from a hit up from the scrum. Nothing more simple than that. I'm surprised the big hook didn't come out.
Look, I understand. I've been out there. I don't understand the pressure. They're tired and whatever. But it's becoming increasingly obvious the players, the skill level of players, I don't think has improved terribly much. How many players make a break and can't pass the ball from left to right? They just can't do it. And the ball goes either backwards or over a player's head or whatever. I'm just amazed sometimes that, for a game that's professional and full time, that you have these players that make ridiculous decisions. But that's probably a topic for another day.
Exactly. And of course, I'd say the comment that Jason Nightingale is being very sorely missed by the Dragons out there on the.
Yeah, he is. He was a professional player. He didn't do those things that I've been speaking about.
Exactly right. Well, tonight's the second game today at down in Melbourne there, of course, the Melbourne Storm up against the New Zealand Warriors. The Warriors, well, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck's out, Blake Green's out, and Solomon Carter out with compassionate leave. You would think that the Storm would be odds-on favourites with this one, Macca.
Well, if ever you had a game where a side you would think had no chance of winning, this is the game. But the Warriors, as they often do and have done in the past down there, they lift, although they got tonked by 50 last year, so they're not bringing Winks-like form into it, are they? So at the end of the day, you'd be surprised if the Warriors won, but it's a two-horse race, isn't it? No, it could happen.
It could happen, but you're going for the Storm?
Definitely.
I think everyone else will be going for the Storm. I know Steve Buchanan certainly is going for the Storm. Now, the Dogs and the Cowboys, that's Friday, 6 p.m. tomorrow evening, and that's at ANZ Stadium. The Dogs, as we said on Monday, two or three players short of being very competitive.
Yeah.
Cowboys, good gutsy win last week. Can the Cowboys show some consistency, Macca?
Well, I think they can. They're a better side than what they've been going, and I think the Bulldogs have probably gone as well as they can go. So it's one of those games that if the Cowboys have probably got it in their hands to win the game, and if they play well, they'll certainly win it. But don't write the Bulldogs off. They've got a bit of spirit. Dean Pay was brought back in to bring some spirit back into the place, and that's one thing that he has done. The players just get on with their job, and but you do get the impression that they are short, and I don't see any signings from the last 4 or 5 days that are going to change my thought from last week, that they are still 3 or 4 players short of a really good side.
Well, I'm certainly going for the Cowboys. So Mac is the Cowboys, and Steve Buchanan going for the Cowboys as well. Shane Moon has gone for the Dragons. For the Dogs. So let's see how that pans out, and it will be a very interesting match. Now, the other game tomorrow evening, the 8 o'clock match. Panthers up against the Rabbits at Panthers Stadium. Will there be a rebirth of the Panthers tomorrow night, Mac?
Well, it'll be interesting where Phil Gould watches this game from, given his attempts to get Wayne Bennett there, and of course the chairman. I don't suppose I'll be sitting together, the chairman and Phil, but those things happen in a football club and a rugby league club. Look, I think Souths are going along okay. They've got a good roster. They've got a great coach. They're going okay. I think Penrith are really going to have to pull one out. And after you have a bit of an upheaval at a club, as you would know, Gordon, from your experience at West, often adversity brings out the best in players. Players rally, and that could be one of those games, but I'd have to lean towards Souths if I had to take a pick.
Yes, I'm going for the Rabbits. Shane Moon's gone for the Rabbits, and Steve Buchanan for the Rabbits. I think, as we said, the Rabbits over the Bulldogs the other week, 14-6. It wasn't a convincing win, but it was the Rabbits' fifth win of the season. So, two points.
Yeah, and that's what I say. They're going along okay. They haven't really been tested. I think they're just rolling, and they've got some big games coming up. That's when we'll really know how they sit amongst the top 3 or 4 sides in the competition.
Yes, well, we'll certainly look forward to seeing how the Panthers do pull up in that one against the Rabbits. It'll be interesting to see.
Well, it is Easter.
It is Easter.
It is
Anzac.
Well, yeah.
It has. Sorry, too many Easter eggs. Well, Macca, the next game, of course, tomorrow evening down there at Scully Park in Tamworth. Now, our own Greg Robertson has gone all that way, and I'm looking for whether the hopeless woeful, miserable, pitiful, deplorable, or and humiliated Tigers can bounce back against an informed Titans team at the moment?
Well, who would have thought 2 weeks ago that you'd even contemplate picking the Titans to win this game? Look, I think the Tigers are very similar to what they've been in previous years. Like, nothing's really changed, I don't think, in terms of them being any more consistent than what they've been. They've still got some good footy in them. They still defend well in matches where they can control things. The match last week, they had no control over the Parramatta side. Parramatta played a brilliant attacking game, and the Tigers just couldn't quell it. So hard to go for the Titans, though. Two wins, impressive, but they've lost Ryan James. He's a big loss for them. He's their leader, their captain. But, you know, their backs are playing well. They throw the ball around. So it's one of those games where they throw the ball around and the Tigers can't subdue them defensively, then the Titans could win. So it's a tough one. I think it's a really tough game. I have to lean slightly towards the Tigers to bounce back.
Steve?
Going for the Gold Coast.
You're going for the Gold Coast, the Titans. And Shane Moon's going the Tigers, and, of course, I'll go the Tigers with Robbo. Broncos and the Sharks at Suncor, and Saturday night, 7:45. Interesting matchup here, Macca.
I'm really looking forward to this game. There's a lot of pressure starting to build on the Broncos. And now the Sharks, I think, are doing as well as they can do this year as well. So it's really bounce-back time for the Broncos. You know, to go into the next round only, you know, with one win on the board would be catastrophic for them.
So you're going for the Broncos?
Broncos, yeah.
Yes, I'll go the Broncos. Shane Moon's gone the Broncos, and Steve Buchanan?
And the Sharks.
You're going for the Sharks, the Outsiders, the Eagle. And then on Sunday afternoon, Manly Warringah Seagulls and the Canberra Raiders at Lotto Land. And, gee, what a match-up this is going to be in the forwards, Macca.
That's where it'll be won and lost, I think. Manly, I thought, played really well against the Dragons last week. And they were unlucky not to take the game into the Golden Point. But having said that, and being realistic and watching the game in a balanced way, their last 10 minutes was quite woeful, Manly. They just didn't know how to finish the game off. That's inexperience. And that's where Dally Cherry Evans, I just think, comes up a little bit short. You know, he should have control that last. They were in front until, you know, 4 minutes from the end, and if they do that against the Raiders, even at home, the Raiders will put the cleaners through them. So I'm going to stick with Manly to stick on. They've played well for the last month, and last week, you know, maybe they can brush that aside and put a win against a really informed Raiders side.
And just finally, Macca, very quickly, the Knights up against the Eels in Newcastle.
Well, you'd have to say the Eels on last week's performances, the Knights were very, very poor. But, you know, maybe there's a win close. And look, Parramatta haven't proved anything really, that they're any more consistent than the inconsistent. So, you know, possibly a win for the Knights. I'll go for them as the outsider.
So you're going for the Knights in that match there. Well, Greg McCallum, thank you very much for joining us here on The Grapple on this Anzac Day, the 25th day of April. And good luck with your selections on the weekend. Look forward to chatting to you again here on 101.5 FM Sports. And Steve Buchanan, quickly, Eagles or Raiders?
Raiders.
And you'll go for the Eels as well?
Definitely go for the Eels.
Well, I've gone for the Eels and the Eagles as well. So let's see how those selections pan out. Shane Moon went for the Raiders and the Eels without any problem at all. Well, listeners, that brings us to the end of our grapple here on this Thursday. As we said, Anzac Day, and we've honoured all our service people, families and friends on this very special day. And look forward to your company again here on The Grapple on 101.5.
With 20 seconds still remaining.
We've got 20, because we're coming up at 7 o'clock, we've got Motor Talk, and Steve Buchanan will be staying in the studio, and we've got one or two special guests to join us as well, and online, and we'll look forward to chatting to them, particularly about the Bathurst 6 hour from last weekend.
Can we mention it's Mark Pryor? He's going to be appearing. So that's something for listeners to look out for. That is coming up shortly.
On 101.5 FM Sports.